Instead of the program originally scheduled for this time, from our studios in the nation's capital, the National Broadcasting Company brings you an address for Representative Clarence J. McLeod, Republican of Michigan. Representative McLeod, the author of a resolution which would bar the Communist Party from state election ballots, tonight speaks on the general topic, Protect America. Representative McLeod.
To their consternation, the people of America have awakened to the fact, and it is a fact, that our democracy is imperiled. Modern wars are waged in two ways simultaneously. We know now that the enemy strikes not only with military forces at the border, but that he likewise strikes inside the border with vast and highly trained fifth columnists. No nation alert to its well-being can neglect either of these attacking forces. The resolution which I am sponsoring is one in which means that we may subdue some of these elements within our population, which would lay bare our breasts for the stroke of enemies without. It will do us little good to build up our armed forces to reasonable strength after years of neglect if we continue to permit saboteurs, fifth columnists, and other subversive elements so to weaken our moral fiber as to bring about our disintegration at the moment of trial. It was federation and unity of purpose that carried the original 13 colonies through the Revolutionary War. It was to preserve this unity, this federation of states, that the Civil War was fought. This unity must ever be protected. But now we are warned, and in no uncertain terms, that the even tenor of our national way may be seriously disturbed. There have been many trying periods in the history of America. There were the dark days between the Declaration of Independence and the ratification of the Constitution, when even the most ardent patriot was pessimistic that there would ever be a United States of America. Likewise, during the War of the Rebellion, there were months when the most enthusiastic champions of the Union were doubtful whether the United States could be preserved. During these struggles, we cannot be unmindful of the aid and comfort rendered the enemy from behind the lines. Washington had his Tories, and Lincoln had his Knights of the Golden Circle. Several weeks ago, I introduced in the House of Representatives a resolution which provided that any political party or organization which advocates the overthrow by force of the form of government of the United States as established by the Constitution should not be recognized as a political entity. The resolution further provides that the Congress recommend that the several state legislatures enact legislation prohibiting the recognition of any such organization or party on the official ballot for the election to any office within the state and for the choice of presidential and vice presidential electors and for the election of senators and representatives in Congress. This resolution is known as House Concurrent Resolution Number 55. By enacting this resolution into law, we will have taken the first definite step to prevent the boring from within, which is slowly but surely freezing the very arteries of pure democracy. I contend further that by stamping out the subversive groups and movements which are boring from within, we will have accomplished the first and most important step for our national defense. I am happy to say at this time that the resolution is gaining support each day, and I hope that before the close of this session of Congress, it will have become a law. Today, when a large part of the world is again convulsed in one of history's cyclonic episodes, which is imprinting an ineffable stain upon the vaunted civilization of our 20 Christian centuries, a person who tells America to waken, that the undermining of democracy is in progress, can no longer be called an alarmist. On the other hand, the person who today still refuses to listen to facts and listlessly scoffs at the un-American progress and entrenchment about us, is nothing less than a traitor. In the European conflict, it has been shown that enemies within the overrun countries have been as dangerous and as damaging as the actual armed forces of the invaders. The fifth column in Denmark, Norway, Holland, Belgium, and France give adequate testimony to the effectiveness of traitors in causing the complete breakdown of all internal defense, leading to ultimate annihilation. We need no more pointed example to show us that the real enemies of our country are to be found within our own borders. Fifth column and streamlined Trojan horse tactics are by no means unknown to us in this country, as we find damaging European ideologies have sprung up and flourished under the cloak of our democracy. We are indeed blind if the brutal lesson of the past few weeks in Europe has been lost to us. Our security as a nation and as a people, together with our American way of living, may well suffer a similar fate unless we stir ourselves to take preventive measures. The strength of America lies in our adherence to the principles which have built America, the principles which have made America great. They are worth protecting. We observe the manner in which the Nazis have operated in Denmark, Norway, Holland, and Belgium, and find it well nigh incredible that they were able to enlist the support and sympathy of some of the citizens of those countries to the end of having them become a party to the destruction of their own lands. Yes, it is difficult to believe, but it is tragically true. The Communist Party of the United States has taken exactly the same position as that taken by the Norwegian Communist Party, and the same position as that taken by the Finnish Communist Party, all acting on the party line as Trojan horse traitors for Stalin. Is it any wonder that at the beginning of the present conflict, the French government jailed its communist deputies? The present debacle in which France now finds herself is in no small measure attributable to the militant and aggressive group of communists who dominated and virtually controlled the Popular Front. By their ability to elect members to the Chamber of Deputies, they were powerful in preventing the adoption of adequate national defense measures. In the face of an immediate foreign invasion, the French communists and their allies threatened a general strike which would have paralyzed their country. Don't tell me these stooges of Stalin had the interest of France at heart. Please keep in mind that this is the same so-called political party that is represented on the American ballot. The last 48 tragic hours which have brought the international structure of the world tumbling down make imperative a readjustment of American thinking. Congress would be derelict in its duty, would be almost guilty of treason, were it to adjourn and leave the nation's capital at this time. We must face the reality of a chaotic condition brought about by barbarous war. War such as has never before been seen in the world. War of a type which until the last 2 months was inconceivable. New forces, new events, new methods have been let loose. What do they mean to the United States? What do they portend for our national welfare? What can be done? What must be done if this nation is to survive in this new kind of polity? The immediate job before Congress is dual in nature. First, we must make our borders absolutely impregnable to any attack from without. Second, we must wipe out the nests of infection from which subversive elements are spreading poison among the 130 million loyal, but often too acquiescent citizens. We must erect on every hand every conceivable barricade to stop the forces working for internal disintegration. We may as well face the fact, the truth, that your national government has been no more alert to the developing of modern war methods than desolated France, imperiled and dismayed England, destroyed Holland, and betrayed Belgium. Your leaders, just as the leaders of these devastated countries, have never advanced beyond the World War days of 1914 in their military thinking. These European leaders have betrayed their own people. They have sent their youth forth to war without any realization of what they would encounter. Those innocent lives were sacrificed horribly to a stupid and apathetic leadership. The warning is clear. Your national leadership is just as guilty as was the leadership of those once great nations which now are in ruins. Faced with this cataclysmic situation, Congress is told by the President to adjourn, to go home. I cannot conceive this to be the method by which we can overcome the past few years of neglect and failure. We are either for America or against America. There can be no divided allegiance when our country and our American institutions are concerned. If we are for America, we must be strong and courageous enough to declare that no longer will we coddle or tolerate dangerous wildcat doctrine spreaders who would destroy the form of government which affords them protection. No longer can we let the word liberalism include that kind of free speech and be the subterfuge for slander, degradation, and the destruction of America. We are matching wits with the cleverest, most unscrupulous group of madmen history has ever known. There is no lie too vile, no means too low, no treachery too base, no crime too great, nor a wrong too grievous for these forces of hate to use in destroying us from within. No longer can we carry on as just passive, silent, inactive, or perhaps just happy-go-lucky Americans. There are responsibilities facing us which we cannot shirk. If we are Americans and 100% for America, we will not want to shirk these responsibilities. Rather, we will protect and pass on our heritage for generations to come. On the other hand, if we refuse our responsibility and prefer to live in an ultra-liberal state, letting this land of ours be known to all the world as the clearinghouse for all crackpot ideas and the experimental ground for all oppressive doctrines by reason of misuse and misinterpretation of free speech, let us say so. It is not enough that we say we are opposed to the doctrine and philosophy of communism, Nazism, and fascism. We must resolve to do something about it. My resolution, if approved, would be a message to every nation that the United States of America is not a stooge nation for destructive fifth column movements. Let them know once and for all that our domestic freedom cannot be violated with impunity. It would be nothing short of criminal to underestimate the gravity of the danger we are facing. The task before us is to awaken a love of country in each and every man, woman, and child. Today we are in deadly peril. The moment demands an energetic application of all of the fundamental precepts of Americanism. The responsibility of preserving and protecting our American ideals rests equally upon each of us. Our people must be rallied for united action against the forces that would destroy us. It is by no means inevitable that we in America should suffer the treacherous betrayals that have occurred in other lands. The sleeping conscience of America must awaken, and once awakened, must act. This is our common task. This is a job for every individual American. In closing, let me say, America must be made aware of the fundamental truth that the condition upon which God has given liberty to man is eternal vigilance. Eternal vigilance is the price we must pay for liberty.
You have heard an address entitled Protect America, made by Representative Clarence J. McLeod, Republican of Michigan. Representative McLeod is the author of a resolution which would bar the Communist Party from state election ballots. Representative McLeod spoke from Washington. This is the National Broadcasting Company.